Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt. So glad you've joined me today. We're continuing answering the question, what is church? And we're seeking to answer it from the New Testament, not from tradition, not from history, not from any particular denominational creed, but from the New Testament. Here's a passage I would like to read. It's found in more than one of my books that I have written. I'm reading this from the book Pursuing Power on page 43, and it is a quote from a professor who's already gone on to his reward. His name was B.H. Streeter, and he wrote a book called The Primitive Church. And he said in this book, he said, whatever else is disputable, there is, I submit, one result from which there is no escape. In the primitive church, there was no single system of church order laid down by the apostles. During the first 100 years of Christianity, the church was an organism, alive and growing, changing its organization to meet changing needs. Uniformity was a later development. That's what we were talking about in an earlier episode, was how that Jesus did not give an order or structure for how church is supposed to look. He gave us a commission, he gave us the Holy Spirit, and he gave us some principles by which to work, and he said, go do it. And so church is not like a McDonald's franchise where everything looks the same in every country and town and hamlet. No, the church is a dynamic, spirit-filled, spirit-led movement of the people of God, and it will take on different forms and expressions in different localities and different cities and different parts of the world. The important thing is Jesus front and center? Is he truly Lord? And are we truly seeking to follow him and be led by his Holy Spirit and to help people and to get out his message of what he has accomplished for us? Now, we're looking at pictures, New Testament pictures or images of church. Yesterday, we were looking at church as the people of God. If you didn't hear that, you need to go back and listen to yesterday, the people of God. Today, we're going to look at another picture in the New Testament of church. Church is presented as the temple of God. The temple of God. There are different places in the New Testament where the church is called, the people of God are called the temple of God. And the church as the temple of God expresses the fact that God has chosen to dwell in the midst of his people and there to manifest his presence and glory. Let me read a passage. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Paul writing to the church in Corinth. He says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you not know? Don't you people know who you are now that you are in Christ? Don't you realize who you are? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Now here's something very interesting. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? There were two Greek words for temple. One word was heron. The other one was naos. Heron referred to the entire, when speaking of the temple in Jerusalem, the Jewish temple in Jerusalem, heron referred to the entire temple, sprawling temple complex, with all of its courtyards and porches and everything. But the word naos referred to that innermost sanctuary known as the Holy of Holies, that was cordoned off by a thick curtain. And the only piece of furniture in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Presence of God, also called the Ark of the Covenant. And nobody was allowed. It was a fearful thing to go past that curtain into the Holy of Holies. And the high priest was the only one who was allowed to go there. And he would go into the Holy of Holies once a year with a blood sacrificial offering that he offered up for the sins of himself and the people of Israel. The Naos, the sanctuary. And Paul says, do you not know that you are, and he doesn't use the word Heron. He uses the word Naos. Don't you know that you are the sanctuary, the Holy of Holies? You now are the place where God has chosen to dwell. Do you not know that you are the Naos of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And then in the very next verse, and remember, Paul did not write in chapters and verses. These were letters he wrote. Chapters and verses came actually several centuries later. I think it was in the 13th century that the Bible was divided into chapters and verses. And this can be very helpful in finding certain passages and references, but it can be very detrimental in that it makes it easy for us to take things out of context, to pull one passage out, memorize a verse, and ignore the verses around it. So we must not do that. Verse 17 flows from verse 16. Do you not know that you are the Naos or sanctuary of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the Naos of God, God will destroy him. For the Naos of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, the word defile can also mean to destroy, to do damage to. And if I'm reading from the New King James, and in verse 17, the word temple at the end of the passage is italicized, which means it is not in the Greek. So I want to read it as it is in the Greek, verses 16 and 17. Do you not know? And you see, this speaks to us as well. I encourage you, you receive this as written to you. Do you not know that you are the sanctuary of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the sanctuary of God, God will destroy him, for the sanctuary of God is holy, which you are. Paul says, you are the sanctuary of God. Let me tell a little funny story in closing. Got so much more to say about the sanctuary of God, but we'll continue with this tomorrow. But let me tell you a humorous little story that illustrates this. David Yonggi Cho, who just recently went on with the Lord, who founded and pastored the largest church in the world in Seoul, South Korea, an amazing servant of God. And I heard him tell about how that I heard him speak more than once. I spent a week at his church in South Korea in 1988. I either read or heard him tell it. I think I heard him tell it about how he was converted as a young man, converted from Buddhism because he was sick with tuberculosis, and a young Christian came and prayed for him in the name of Jesus, and he was healed. And so he became a committed follower of Jesus and felt God called him into the ministry. And so, he was very poor. He went into the ministry right at the end of the Korean War when the Korean economy and people had been devastated. But God began to bless, and his congregation began to grow. He started out meeting in an old tent that some American soldiers had left behind. But he tells about how he was speaking about how the Heavenly Father, whom we worship in the name of Jesus, and talking about him being in heaven. The Lord's Prayer says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And he was saying how that the Buddhists and the Eastern religions there in Seoul, they all had their pagan temples, and the temples was considered the dwelling place of their God. So they could tell you the street and the number on the building of the address of their deity, of their God. And so he was talking about the Heavenly Father, and he said people begin to ask him, what is the address of the Heavenly Father? And he would say, well, he's in heaven. He said, but this never satisfied him, because he realized that when he pointed up, people on the opposite side of the globe pointing up were pointing in opposite directions. So he said he went on a quest, reading his Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and praying and fasting and asking God, God, what is your dwelling place? What is your address? Where do you live? Oh God, what is your address? And eventually it dawned on him from passages like we're reading today. And he realized that we, as God's people, that we are his dwelling place. And so he said, he announced one Sunday to the people, he said, now be sure and come next week and bring your family and friends. He said, I'm going to announce the address of our Heavenly Father. So he said that next Sunday there was an unusually large crowd that gathered. And so at some point in the service, he said to the people, he said, now I am going to tell you the address of our Heavenly Father. And he said he saw people pulling out pads of paper and pencils ready to write down the address of the Heavenly Father. And he gave them a moment to get their writing apparatus ready. And then he said to them, God, the Heavenly Father's address is my address. And he said, people looked at him in shock. And he said, now don't be afraid. I'm not teaching you heresy, for the Heavenly Father's address is also your address. And then he elaborated on how that we are his temple, we are his naos, his sanctuary. He has now chosen to dwell in us. Wow. What an incredible privilege we have to be the people of God, to be his chosen sanctuary, place where he chooses to manifest his presence, his power, and his glory. Oh Lord, let it be in the name of Jesus. I pray that your name will be honored, and that your presence and glory will be manifested in the midst of your sanctuary, oh God, which we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.